I'll address that in two parts. I mean, with the TPP itself, the original agreement, there were a whole wide range of concerns. First off, the ability of overseas investors from the other TPPA countries to be able to sue New Zealand government for changes in regulation or legislation which would affect their profits. So it was a huge concern. Also some more specific concerns around Pharmac and the availability of affordable medicines. There's a whole list of things which the TPPA covers, which I won't go into detail now, but the general gist of it is the New Zealand government selling out its agree to regulate in the public interest for the benefit of overseas investors. With the new agreement, the what they've rebranded as a comprehensive progressive TPP, or whatever they want to call it, fundamentally it's exactly the same deal but with certain elements of it suspended pending the re-entry of the United States into the agreement. So certainly I'm pleased that some of the more toxic elements of the agreement have been suspended, but the extent to which Labor have won concessions in their negotiations in Vietnam recently has been overblown. First off, the investor state dispute settlement component of the agreement is still largely intact. There have been some minor concessions that have been won so far as suing on government contracts is concerned, but that's not the core concern which myself and others who've opposed the TPPA had. It was the ability for overseas investors to sue for changes in policy or introducing new legislation which would, you know, affect the environment in which those investments were made. So having said that, the suspensions around biologics medicine, around extension of copyright and patents, the disciplines that we put on Pharmac, those are definitely positive steps. However, what I would say on that is that if the US were ever to rejoin the agreement, you know, and that's a distinct possibility should Donald Trump ever get out of the White House, then these suspended clauses would come back into effect and we'd be left with exactly the same agreement that we opposed in the first place.
So the Greens have come out, or at least reaffirmed their opposition to the TPP, though the National Party has come out in support of the Labor-led government. So, yeah, effectively they're coming together on this issue. What do you make of that?
I think, I mean, to be perfectly blunt, it's a measure of Labor's hypocrisy around this, that they are putting themselves in a position where they're going to rely on the support of the National Party to get this agreement over the line. Labor in opposition were pretty inconsistent in their criticisms of the TPP. They were hot and cold depending on which way the wind was blowing for a long time, but eventually the position that they had crystallized around first off the economic modeling. They came out in their select committee minority review being very critical of the economic argument for the TPP, and they were also very critical of the secrecy with which the agreement was negotiated, you know, on top of their concerns around foreign buyers and whatnot. It's pretty disappointing that the concerns around the modelling seem to have been, you know, shuffled under the carpet. You know, they're now trumping this up as an agreement which will have, you know, have benefits for New Zealand exporters, while they themselves have gone on record saying that it won't, or that that can't be established. As for the secrecy and the transparency side of things, Labor have gone ahead and you know, conceded a position on this agreement without any meaningful public consultation, on the false pretense that because there was a ministerial meeting around the TPP in November, they had to, you know, they had to be ready to agree to it. there's no reason whatsoever to accept that just because National had put Labor in this position by bringing the negotiations to the point that they got to under National, doesn't mean that Labor were beholden to continue with the agreement or continue with the negotiations at that pace. Canada, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei all managed to put up objections to the TPP negotiations, which is what stalled agreement now, and there's no reason Labor couldn't have done the same by honouring their commitment to do proper public consultation.
A lot of proponents of the TPP claim that it will bring great benefits to New Zealand in terms of GDP growth and job growth, but do you think the average New Zealander will actually benefit?
No, and there are a couple of reasons for that. First off, the modelling around the TPP, the original TPP, including the United States, was very much disputed, and you know, by economists, you know, outside of government, but you know, most significantly, the Labour Party itself was very critical of the economic modelling of the original TPP agreement in their select committee minority view. Now, the United States is no longer part of the agreement, and they were, you know, far and away the largest economy subject to the agreement. So if you take them out, the economics are going to be very different. But we've not seen any updated analysis from the government as to what the new economic reality is going to be. So that's the first point. We need to see, you know, some updated and robust modelling to see whether or not there actually are going to be significant benefits associated with the agreement. My second point around the benefit for, you know, your average New Zealander on the street is just because, you know, Fonterra and some of our primary exporters may have experience some benefits as a result of the agreement, that's by no means assured that that's going to be passed on to the average New Zealander. There's certainly no, there's nothing in the agreement to ensure that the distribution of any wealth that flows from the agreement is passed on in an equitable way.
Do you think this idea that it will benefit average New Zealanders is kind of reliant on trickle-down rhetoric?
Yes, no, I would agree with that.
And do you think what we're seeing the Labour Party do now is a follow-on from the neoliberal past?
Yes, I'd agree with that as well. I mean, obviously, there have been some positive developments from the Labour government so far as, you know, addressing neoliberalism is concerned. There were some positive comments coming from David Parker, the Trade Minister, in the lead up to the Vietnam negotiations about the role that free trade agreements held in generating growth and in, you know, in creating an economy that works for everybody, and you know, the things he talked about there were, you know, regional development and, you know, investing in strategic industries and whatnot. And look, I'd absolutely agree with that. And that kind of rhetoric is much more in common with a Keynesian or a social democratic style of economics than it does with neoliberalism. But so far as the TPPA is concerned, Jane Kelsey, who's the leading proponent of the TPP, she, in her last book, The Fire Economy, talks about this concept of embedded neoliberalism, the idea that you take the norms associated with neoliberal economics and you lock that in to the way that government operates. And you do that through these international agreements like the TPPA. And I would say that the TPPA, as it originally negotiated and as it stands now, you know, embeds a lot of those core neoliberal assumptions. And the unfortunate reality is that both this government and future governments will be bound by those norms should the agreement go ahead.